It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning, everyone. 6 minutes after 8 in the morning on a tremendous Thursday. The lightning is on the streets. The lightning is in your mailboxes, and it's Thursday, which means the lightning is on the radio. It is time for us to get behind the headlines of this week's lightning. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Radio Thursday to you.
Good morning. Happy to be back here on Lightning Radio.
Yes, sir. Let's get started. Jam-packed again with news, local news. News that affects us right here in Henderson County. Let's start with the front page here, Bill. And this is something that has been batted around a little bit since like 2017, something like that. The Edneyville sewer line, and a few other things too. The VFW project, soccer park, and all having to do now with these ARP funds. And you got the full story here.
Exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Edneyville sewer probably maybe longer ago than that, but in a more serious environment in, say, a little bit more than the last, a little bit less than the last year or so because of this magical $22.8 million American Rescue Plan money
right.
that fell in the laps of local governments from sea to shining sea, that looks like, well, that's going to come to fruition in Fruitland and Edneyville, because this looks like this will allow for $9 million of the $22 million, almost $23 million in federal money to go toward that. So that topped the list Monday night when the county commissioners saw, really for the first time, a narrowed down, cold list of the top projects that they may appropriate that money toward. Like I said, was the top, also ranked high and eligible for reimbursement under the COVID-related Federal Relief Act, were reimbursing $750,000 for COVID-related medical expenses for county employees. You know, they have a self-insurance county clinic, and I'm sure they had many cases of county folks going to that clinic, $1 million to cover costs CMS crews incurred responding to coronavirus-related calls. And then, in addition, there's this what they call standard allowance that doesn't come under the real rigid guardrails created by the United States Treasury Department of COVID eligible, where it basically says not exactly whatever you want, but is much more flexible. And those are really interesting. They could get a lot of neat projects done. Among the options that the county staff and county commissioners, after ranking all these, sort of one-star to five-star rating, among those options were $4.2 million for that Hedrick Roads VFW post 5206 renovation there at Five Points.
Yep.
The county commissioners really have already committed to that, so this would cover that instead of using regular taxpayer dollars. $3.1 million for a new EMS station in Fletcher, $2.7 million for a new soccer park, more on that in a moment, $600,000 for sheriff's office radios, $600,000 for emergency communication tower replacements or upgrades in Fletcher, Mills River, and on Bear Walla Mountain, and $117,000 for those power load systems for ambulances that just kind of lift the stretcher up and slide it in there for the patient that they pick up. And agreement, as the Lightning reports, on some of those was less unanimous than the Edneyville sewer, which was all, like I say, the top priority. Commissioner Lapsley, the chairman of the board, said he was concerned about $2.7 million for the soccer fields. We don't have a particular project in mind, and that's fluid. And he just thought that was a little bit ambiguous. But Vice Chair Rebecca McCall, she's really been spearheading this effort to replace what the Lightning calls the pasture-like conditions at Jackson Park. And plus, it floods really, really very often.
So that's in defense of the soccer field.
It is
dollars.
Yeah, this is the debate over really a new soccer park. This is just really because of largely the availability of the ARP funds that has bubbled to the surface. Maybe we can spend a fair amount of this on a new new location, uh-huh. New fields.
Oh, gotcha.
Whether there'll be grass or turf is undecided, but that is hanging fire, you might say, because after some discussion, as they usually do, they say, well, we need more information. And Rebecca McCall and Christopher Todd, the Business and Economic Development and Community Development Director of the county, and John Mitchell's old job, with some other staff, recreation staff members, had visited all these soccer fields, five different soccer parks in Greenville County, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And Rebecca, she goes, I spent a day traveling through Greenville, South Carolina County. We visited five parks that were totally dedicated to soccer. Soccer is exploding. And not only is soccer exploding, but cricket. It's crazy, Rebecca McCall said. So look for that to be decided. They've already got a $500,000 state grant that's tentatively directed toward a new $200,000 playground at Jackson Park. But then they were going to use $300,000 of it to improve the soccer fields there. And they were all saying, that's looking like good money after bad because they're not fixable. Okay. Whatever we do at Jackson Park, Commissioner McCall said, it's still going to flood.
Yeah.
It's right along Mud Creek.
Sure.
As we say, when we have a really big rainstorm, we'll say, oh, this looks like this is this month's 500-year flood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I think they're going to start over somewhere else.
There was also a plea, if I recall, from the news earlier this week from some of our nonprofit leaders regarding those ARP funds for the county.
Yeah, correct. And I wondered a little bit whether that was a little late to the party, but nevertheless, that's exactly right. Denise Cumming-Long, the executive director of the United Way, and McRae Benson, the president and CEO of the Community Foundation of Henderson County, appeared on this same night before the county commissioner and said, look, you got this money. We've been talking to nonprofit leaders. We're here to appeal on behalf of these incredible nonprofit community, Ms. Cumming-Long said. Want to ask you to consider input from our nonprofit leaders before making your final decision on ARP funding. So that, for sure, is in the mix. And what Commissioner Lapsley, Chairman Lapsley, did, having received that information, was to direct the staff to, well, let's get with these nonprofit leaders and kind of shape the contours of this idea.
Okay.
Of maybe that's been out there all along. There's been a lot of some little bit of noise about how we're going to do this. I don't know if the county yet has actually created like an application form. Like the city did.
Yes.
And one of the things that one of the arguments against that has been, we have found that these 400 and some page or more, guardrails, federal regulations of how you must spend and account for ARP money is so complicated that if you've got a nonprofit that has a smaller amount, I mean, being $100,000, they might have to spend $25,000 just to account for it, you know, to hire CPAs and lawyers even to make sure you're spending it right. There's a healthy paranoia, I guess I might call it, among the county staff and the county attorney and the budget folks, that they're going to do something wrong and there'll be the dreaded clawback.
Right.
Where the federal government said, nope, you didn't check that box.
Yep,
so
pay it back.
We need that $9 million back.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, so, but that is out there for sure. And it's certainly worthy. And we certainly do have really effective nonprofits that do a lot of work, as we've talked many, many times before, that if they did not do it, the taxpayers would be paying for it.
Right.
So there's a good argument, and we've got another story to talk about in a few minutes. There is a good argument for listening to the nonprofit's proposals for this ARP money.
Sure, absolutely. Bill, before we take our break, let's stay on money and money for Western North Carolina. Apple disaster assistance for the weather disaster we had back in 21, where that took so much of the apple crop. We got some assistance coming thanks to Chuck Edwards and Tim Moffitt, right?
Yeah, and we had a couple weeks ago, we had a front page story about the app that mentioned the apple assistance and mentioned the crop disaster of 2021 because of the April freezes in 2021.
Yeah.
But we didn't know until then. We finally caught up and got both Representative Moffitt and Senator Edwards their account of what happened sort of behind the scenes. And this thing really had gotten not in a ditch. It had gotten deleted, eliminated, apparently inadvertently, from the budget that was actually adopted by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Cooper. And so they had what's called a technical corrections bill just a few weeks ago where they got it reinserted. So it's a really big deal because this is going to be worth millions of dollars to Henderson County apple farmers who historically have not, unless they have crop insurance, historically have not gotten a disaster declaration for apple freezes. I wouldn't say it's unprecedented, but I haven't seen it in the time I've been covering the apple crop, which is going on 25 years. So it's really interesting in that way. They were going to piggyback on the relief for Tropical Storm Fred, but there were some, and they did do that, but there were some problems the way they first tried to do it. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And apple farmers and legislators and the county's agriculture extension director estimate the apple, the crop is usually worth roughly about $30 million, right?
Yeah.
So they estimate the loss of around $20 million, around $8 million or so was recovered via crop insurance, leaving claims through the disaster relief bill that could reach $12 million. So that's $12 million that we would not have had that farmers can apply for.
And you're right, that's the first I've ever seen that I remember of disaster relief for apple crop.
I don't remember it happening. Get your Hendersonville Lightning or go to hendersonvillelightning.com to read all y'all growers out there how to apply.
Okay, fantastic. 18 minutes after 8 in the morning, you're listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. We'll be back in just a bit with more from this week's Lightning.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business, and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft. With Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
Hey, Q Nation, it's a fresh new year, which means fresh new choices. Here's one for you. How about choosing to save more with our friends at Optimum? They are now proudly serving the Western North Carolina area, delivering blazing fast internet speeds to keep us all connected. Nothing is more frustrating than slow internet, especially when you have Optimum as a choice. We use them here at the Q as well as in our home, and you should too. And they now have Optimum Flexibility, a whole new way for you to get the internet and TV services you want at a great price with no contracts or hidden fees. We've called and customized our package, and it is so easy. Simply pick the internet speed that's right for you. You can change it anytime. And remember, they offer packages up to 1 gig. You don't know a gig from a pig? Trust me, it's fast. It's 10 times faster than DSL. If it's entertainment you want, Optimum offers hundreds of channels with many in HD. So do like us. Choose to save more this year and visit Optimum.com/NC for their best deals today.
And we are back with Lightning Radio here on the queue. The lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio. Bill, let's talk more about some about government money. We've talked a lot about it already this morning. Apparently, there's a $9 million coming into Henderson County for help with substance abuse. That's a big story.
It is a big story, and yeah, we talked about the falling into the laps of the Board of Commissioners. This is really needed, though. It's a little bit of a different bucket, obviously, because this is part of that nationwide and going to every state and from every state to all the counties, opioid abuse settlement.
Right.
With the drug companies that produced and marketed the highly addictive painkillers. And Board of Commissioner Chair, we talked about him already, Bill Lapsley, announced this on Monday night and described how they restarted the Substance Abuse Task Force, which has already met three times, I think it is. We'll meet once more because they've narrowed down, the ways, the categories that this money can be spent, such as early intervention program, services particularly directed toward children and adolescents that are somehow have some problematic vulnerability to drug use and abuse or mental health conditions, training programs for parents and teachers, school staff, county DSS, and others. That's the first category. Criminal justice diversion programs, very much supported, Commissioner Lapsley said, by the sheriff and others in the community that watch this stuff, which is like pre-arrest, post-arrest, and pre-trial service and intervention, trying to connect defendants in the drug charges to treatment programs, and then recovery support services. This must be evidence-based peer support services with care navigators, and then also housing support. That is a big issue. We all know housing is always housing that costs less than $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Now is a big issue, so they're trying to work on that. And then evidence-based addiction treatment. So watch for that going forward. There's just north of $1 million is going to go into the county treasury this year. One of them is going to come any day now, and the other sometime around late summer or fall, apparently. So it's unfortunate from one perspective that we've had major problems across this country that we've had to deal with. Chairman Lapsley said this certainly will help. And the county, kudos to the county to have this. Not every county, in fact, I would guess most didn't have a substance abuse task force already in place in order to hear from the experts and figure out how to spend this money. So Henderson County is going to be able to move, I think, more quickly and effectively than the average bear.
Excellent. And that $9 million, is like you said, it's not just one lump sum. It's spread out over a few years.
18.
Yeah, yeah.
18 years. So, yeah, it's quite some time.
Sure, absolutely. Let's move on to our Chamber Awards, Bill. The big Chamber Awards dinner was just a couple of weeks ago. You were there. I was there. Some very well-deserved winners again this year.
Yeah, as we say, and they, besides, making the regular news of who is the big winner of their top award, the G. Ray Cantrell Lifetime Community Service Award, they made news because they shattered the gender ceiling after, can you believe it, 23 years of male bankers, insurers, manufacturers, engineers, realtors, attorneys, auto dealers, developers, and small business owners who have won it. And Judy Stroud, people know her from billboards or doing business with her as the State Farm insurance agent. But she has a tremendous history of serving. I think I counted 19 different nonprofits or organizations, the Athena Committee, I won't read them all, Kiwanis Club, Salvation Army, Western Carolina Hall of Fame, Selection Committee, Four Seasons Hospice, Party Foundation, Red Cross. But some of her really interesting background is that she's currently South Atlantic Conference Coordinator of Women's basketball officials, but that goes back to her basketball career. Yep. And volleyball, but mostly basketball. She was a standout high school basketball player there in McDowell County, was her team's most valuable player for 3 years. She played on the Southern All-Star team against the Russian Olympic team, played at Western Carolina University and received the Big Cat Award her senior year, coached basketball and volleyball at Boiling Spring High School for 4 years, winning 2 state titles and finishing runner-up twice. She was head coach for the Catamounts, and then as a basketball referee, she's officiated games in the South Atlantic Conference, ACC, and many more, worked at NCAA tournament for 12 years, and was among the 24 inaugural officials selected to work in the WNBA.
Yeah, quite the bio.
Yeah, it really was. Some of the other top awards were the Duke Energy Citizenship Award. This one was well-deserved. Steve White, we've talked about his career and leading the county from March 2006 until June of last year. He was the winner of that. The First Citizens Customer Service Award, that went to Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. The education champion, not surprisingly, was Dr. Laura B. Leatherwood,
yep,
the president of Blue Ridge Community College, and the reigning state community college president of the year, selected by the State Board of Community Colleges. Environmental sustainability, Guy Erb, small business of the year, is the Tony and Josh Warren of Warren Restoration. And people can read all the rest of those many awards in this week's Lightning.
Well, we got to mention the nonprofit of the year, too.
Of course. The nonprofit of the
Interfaith
year.
Interfaith Assistance
Ministry.
Sorry, I was trying to find very well deserved.
Elizabeth Wilson Moss, who's shown here with Rick Merrill, is the nonprofit of the year. And in 2020, the first year of the pandemic, they had 26,000 service touches, okay? But last year, they continued even more, and they had 43,000 service touches, a 63% increase over 2020. They provided nearly 900,000 meal equivalents, a 75% increase over 2020, and experienced a 67% increase in clothing contributions for adults and children. So, speaking of clothing and other items, you know, their thrift shop is open.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's going gangbusters.
Oh, yeah. We know that. Paige pulls her shift every Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Paige
is on that
every
board.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Paige is on that board. And you can see it is a high-end boutique thrift shop. So check it out.
Fantastic. Bill, we got a little bit of breaking news here. This morning, there was a bomb threat called into North Henderson High School. The schools, North Henderson and Apple Valley, were immediately evacuated this morning, but the sheriff's office is saying all students and faculty members are safe. Members of the sheriff's office, explosive ordnance team, and criminal investigations division are on the scene clearing the school. That came in about 20 minutes after 8 this morning to us, and they will send updates as we get them.
Very good.
All right.
Glad to hear everyone's safe. And here's hoping that it's nothing worse than someone not wanting to take an algebra test.
Right. Yes. I did a lot of things trying not to take an algebra test, but I'd never called it a bomb threat. I would play sick. I would do all that.
I did not either.
Bill, speaking of schools, Philip, who was very, very helpful for our Hendersonville, at least the Hendersonville High School jazz band. I remember him very well with your son and my son in jazz band together. Rob Tollison, of course, who passed playing drums.
Suddenly, yeah.
Playing drums. There's a Joy of Jazz Festival in honor of him now.
It is, yeah. He started this jazz festival. A terrific jazz drummer for all of his career. A terrific jazz and rock and roll and other kind of music journalist. The inventor of a really neat jazz interview program he called Spinterview, where he would spin old jazz classics and interview the makers of those, and he got some really big names to do that, and chiefly related to this, a great mentor and friend of the high school jazz musicians. So the Joy Jazz Festival, it'll take place at Hendersonville High School on Saturday, April 16. The the practice, rehearsal, and the teaching of the youngsters, that starts at 10:30 a.m. But the concert, they'll show off what they've learned. That's free and open to the public at 3:30 p.m. at the high school. Go in where the big red Bearcat paw is, and you'll see signs and greeters to escort you to the performance space. So check that out, Saturday, April 16, performance time, 3:30.
All right, Bill, let's touch on just a couple of more stories here before Lightning Radio is over. There's a movie premiere coming, a movie that was shot here recently, and the premiere is coming. Tell us about that, Bill.
Yeah, there is indeed. In fact, this will be posted just a little while from now on HendersonvilleLightning.com, so don't look at it right now. It's not quite posted. But this movie, Rosebud Lane, filmed in Brevard and Hendersonville, it will screen at, you know, that co-ed cinema that still managed to stay open all these years on Main Street in Brevard.
I sure do, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be at 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, April 21. And join the writer, director, John Lacey, the cast and crew, and Tammy Hopkins with Film Brevard NC, and it looks like a band as well, on the red carpet in front of the co-ed cinema, followed by screening of the movie and a Q&A with the director after each screening. So, interestingly, you can read all about who it stars, but people want to see where was this... what locations are featured in this movie? Creekside Subs, I think most of these are Brevard, Sunset Motel, Wind Down on Main, Co-ed Cinema, Dolly's Ice Cream. People know Dolly's Ice Cream. You got to go to Dolly's Ice Cream after you go to the Pisgah Inn.
Yeah,
you go
yes.
look at the leaves, you, uh-huh. go, you go eat at the Pisgah Inn, and then you go to Dolly's Ice Cream
yes.
for dessert.
Yep.
That's tradition in our household. The Poe House, that's here in Hendersonville, downtown Main Street in Hendersonville, and Private Homes and Farms in Henderson, excuse me, and Transylvania counties.
An update again on the North Henderson bomb threat that was called in this morning. Apparently, there are a couple of police cars and an ambulance, and traffic is backed up on 64 right now. So if you're not going there to pick up kids or anything, you probably want to avoid that area, Chimney Rock Road.
Yeah, avoid. Don't go to 64 East. Don't go to Walmart yep. or Sam's Club right now.
Yep. Once again, there was a bomb threat that was called in to North Henderson earlier this morning. So North Henderson and Apple Valley Elementary have been evacuated. So and they're checking on it right now. But traffic is backed up right now on 64. Bill, let's end on an anniversary note. A big congratulations to you, Bill Moss, and your investors for Hendersonville Lightning's 10th anniversary.
Yeah, exactly.
10 years.
We have one of our advertisements, one of what we hope will be some more. 10 years is an achievement in any environment, especially today. Yeah, for a print news product when they said we wouldn't make it 10 days, 10 weeks, blah, blah, blah. You've heard.
Yeah.
Our continued commitment and support of the community is important and brings us together because we are better informed. Thank you for your endless dedicated work. That's from Greg Munson and the late Marilyn Munson. Thank you. They are friends of the Lightning. And as I say, enthusiasts and supporters from its beginning, and that's very true. So to find out how in the coming weeks and months you too can help us celebrate our 10th birthday, call Advertising Director Matt Manini at 828-279-5740.
And of course, once again, Bill, just proving that there is nothing wrong with local newspaper when it's done right. There's nothing in the world wrong with local radio when it's done right. And we feel like we're proving that point.
Yeah, we've been on the same track, you longer than me, but we've been on the same track on proving that a print product and great AM and FM local radio is not only not dead, but it's alive and thrives.
And to a certain degree, vital. Vital to our community.
To every degree, vital. Yeah. And the readers in the community are voting with their wallets. We had a tremendous surge of new subscriptions, 17 this week.
Wow.
So they are voting. They are voting with their checkbook and their debit card and their credit card. And so thank y'all for that.
Yep. Well, we say it all the time here. If you want to know what's going on in our community, you got to read the Lightning and you got to listen to WTZQ. Bill, congratulations on 10 years. There are still plenty of other news in this week's Lightning. Tell people how they can pick up their Lightning.
By going to the Lightning Racks all around the county, or our dealer partners such as Publix or convenience stores, or by going to the aforementioned HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe to see how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans to get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or just easy as pie by calling Jan at 828-698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.